7.9.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Jersey Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Benjamin Leitner. Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9 on this wonderful Saturday morning. It's nice and cooler than it's generally been, so experiencing some nice weather. I'm here with my
aftermath of the hurricane.
Yeah, I believe. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, but maybe it brought some cooler weather. So,
but you're from Alabama, though, and that's where the hurricane's supposed to go, right?
Absolutely.
Hey,
good morning, Jackson. Good morning, Duval.
So
I had to get that, you know, being from Birmingham and all.
Oh, my goodness. So Dr. Danford and Larry Williams, my co-host here. And good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. Happy Saturday, everybody. And this is another beautiful and magnificent day that God has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Grateful for his mercy. Absolutely. So, Dr. Danford.
Hey, listen. I was away this past weekend up in Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I used to live in Nashville.
Oh,
did you? I used to visit Chattanooga. Yeah. Did you go to the, the underground waterfall?
I kind of stayed around. I had to pressure wash your garage. Hey, I had to pressure wash my mother-in-law's garage, so she put me to work.
You just go around finding stuff.
I do. I love to do stuff as long as it's positive.
All right. There staying active.
Right.
I have a garage these ones. house.
Well, let me just say I want to certainly thank the Lord for all of his blessings. We dodged a bullet here in Jacksonville.
Right.
Of course, I understand we were very, very, very much prepared. I noticed some of the comments on the news. So it appeared as though the city was prepared for the big one.
Right.
You know, like Fred Sanford on Sanford's song.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a little too young for that.
But on a much more serious note, I want to send our condolences out to folk down in the Bahamas. We have friends down there, and that is some horrendous destruction.
Yes,
you know, in terms of the lives of those people down there. I mean, it will really literally take many, many years.
And there have been some positive reports of relief efforts on just some of the entertainers' behalf.
Sure.
You know, Tyler Perry, people who have the resources to go down immediately while they're waiting on government funds. And the yes,
you know,
airplanes, places to take them, you know, the ability to transport, and that's a blessing, you know,
blessing.
To be able to have those resources to go and help those people so that, you know, they don't have to wait as long for the government resources to come in. So, yes, our condolences to all of the families. And it's just such, like you said, a blessing that we didn't experience that here, even though we were prepared, you know, God turned, you know, and it skipped us, and I remember the meteorologist had mentioned that it was he didn't say that the it was a good hurricane. He said the hurricane was good to us. And I said, oh, you know, God was good to us. You know, he redirected.
We just sometimes the hurricane get confused, from us. Okay?
It was really good.
Well, you know, one thing I can say, guys, is that, you know, at being prepared is important, because apparently in North Carolina, the people weren't prepared and they refused to evacuate, and thus the coastal areas, especially in North Carolina's Outer Banks, were hit very hard by the rains and flooding from that, and people were actually trapped in their attics. You know,
yes.
During this, over the past couple of days, and so, you know, when they tell you to mandatory evacuation, get your butt out of there and go somewhere. They're not playing, you know.
Right.
And just because we dodged a bullet that time, next time we might not be so fortunate. So, you know, it's better to be prepared and overly prepared than not prepared at all, which those folks in North Carolina obviously weren't.
Well, that's the Bahamas. What about Jacksonville? I see nothing really stopped here, especially as it relates to the murders. I'm seeing in the paper here just Thursday they had 10 shootings. My God,
yeah,
I mean, this
crazy.
Is... And so this brings our count up to, ladies and gentlemen, we're at 108 murders here in Jacksonville. This time last year we had 87, so I subtracted. So we have 21. We have 21 more murders this time.
Year. Yeah. This time, same time from last year.
Cross
math? Yeah, that's that thing. That's what we call arithmetic.
Arithmetic, there you go.
See, I went to segregated schools, you know, basically.
You got the three R's, right?
Well, but listen now, we're becoming more segregated. I mean, the school systems are becoming more segregated, especially here in Florida.
Absolutely.
Huh? Okay.
All over, Doc.
Segregation isn't bad. I mean, many of us are products of segregated schools, okay?
Absolutely. But that is 13 people shot in Jacksonville in 4 days. I guess the shot spotters got help with the finding them afterwards, right? Finding where they was fired from, huh?
Well, they picked. They were able to get the casings from the guns.
Oh, okay.
And of course, the purpose of the shot spotter is really to get the police to the crime scene faster.
Okay,
they're able to capture the evidence quicker. and hopefully get there in time to keep other people from getting shot.
Right, we could have used that $500,000 so to do some prevention and probably wouldn't have had to find us.
Come on, Larry, you know there's not a whole lot of concern about prevention, okay?
I'm just saying what it is, Doc. That is what it is, what it is.
Well, speaking of...
You know, come on.
Prevention. September is Suicide Prevention Month.
Oh my goodness!
So
yes.
That is a serious topic. I find
all too often
we do not take those signs seriously. You know, and just in being a small business owner and founder and president of Harvest Intervention Services, we see that because we provide those services. We see the depression and anxiety. Just experienced, you know, our children admitting those types of things, and it's happening, admitting feeling like they don't want to continue to live, and it's serious.
Well,
and, you know,
it is a serious issue, and let me just say, it's been 50 years now since I've been from Vietnam, and many of my colleagues are still suffering with PTSD and trauma. So when you talk about this is Suicide Month, listen. Let's continue to get some help, my brothers and sisters. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
it has to be a conversation though about it. I mean, folks, when they talk about suicide or anything in our community, that we need to have discussions about. That no one wants to talk about it. That's why we have so many silent killers, diabetes, and other types of illnesses, and mental illness is something that we need to deal with. Depression, especially amongst our teenagers, is a growing issue.
Yes, and anxiety.
We're not talking about it.
Right, and anxiety, and we're not getting them to help, because again, I understand it's a hard blow, you know, to see that your child is depressed and to have to admit that. You know, I had to go through a phase of denial when my mother had a nervous breakdown and she had schizophrenia. So I understand that, but at some point, you know, I had to wake up and say, okay, I need to get her some help, because this is
absolutely
just continuing to
so that's firsthand to sit in, you've experienced
firsthand
it.
I have experienced that.
So schizophrenia is real?
Absolutely. And they think that the voices are real.
It's
and
not
they,
just white people, it's black people
it
too?
It affects everybody, all ethnicities, all age. Well, it doesn't typically show up until later adolescence, but all ethnicities, you know, all populations, anybody can be affected by that. And you don't have to have a genetic predisposition to it. It could just be triggered by a traumatic event.
Well, I must say that, Larry, that they've increased some of the resources for mental health counseling.
They have?
In Jacksonville.
Okay, well, that's great. So we need people to know that we need access these resources.
Right, and those small business owners out there that are in this profession.
Absolutely. Let's get out of denial.
Let's get going. We've got to have, I mean, with all the murders, the trauma that these young people are experiencing in certain neighborhoods, we've got to, come on now, we can't expect the government to do everything. We're going to have to, you know, they already got us choked, you know, understand. But
thank you for cleaning that up.
Oh gosh, but well, we just got to go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say we definitely have to be more diligent and vigilant about addressing the mental health issues and health issues in our communities, and no one wants to talk about it, and that's why, you know, it's always people walk around and they look healthy and so forth, but you know, you never know what's doing underneath in their minds and mm-hmm. in the things that they're going through at home, at work, or at school, and some of that can be depressing.
Right. Yes. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk some about lynching and some of the activities that
you just mentioned lynchings, though. Didn't
no, but we have we've got a commemoration that's going to take place on Sunday, and I need to speak to that.
And this is a historical moment.
After 100 years,
right? And you know because history I guess the U.S. Department of Education, that they're changing what history books or the state departments of education, you know, they have certain curriculums and the history books are changing, the information that's, you know, being taught to the students.
Right. So, we go into revisionist history. You know, it's not real history. This is fake history, are saying.
Fake news.
Yeah,
we're going to take a fake break. Then.
No, this is a real break.
This is a real break. Okay.
Going to take a real break. All right. Well, our telephone number is 904-831-1079. That's 904-831-1079. If you have any comments or questions, please call in. This is our music break, and we'll be back. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
The new Praise 107.9.
He said, you know my name. As soon as he did that, I was like, I love it! I love it! You know my name. He said at the end, he said, you know my name. Yeah, yeah. You know my name. And oh, how you walk with me. Woo! And oh, how you talk with me. I hear you say, oh, how you tell me. And oh, how you tell me that say it real loud together. You know my name. You know my name. Walking with you, and Lord, how you talk with me.
Oh, how you talk with me.
Oh, how you tell me. And Lord, how you tell me that I am your own.
That I am your own.
Say that one more time. Oh, how you walk with me. And Lord, how you talk with me.
Hey.
Oh, how you tell me. Oh, how you tell me that I am your own.
That I am your own.
Now let's just take the next 30 seconds and somebody just say something to him. Come on, raise up your voices and tell him how awesome he is. God, you're faithful. You're the lover of my soul, the keeper of my life. God, I adore you. God, we honor you tonight. Somebody just worship you. You're faithful, God. You're my peace. You're my joy. You're my life. You're my keeper. God, my strength. God, my father. God, you're my help. God, you're my comfort. God, you're my joy and my deliverance. Somebody just worship the Father tonight.
All right, amen. Yes, just worship him. You know, he knows our name, and he's a good God. And we just welcome you back here on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. And I'm Jarmin Leitner, along with Dr. Richard Danford and Larry Williams. And we do have a guest caller on the line, Miss Julia. Good morning, Miss Julia.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How you doing today?
Hey. We are
good
doing
morning.
Great.
What's going on over there, Durbanly?
Well, we want to talk about some things that are going on at the Urban League today, which I think is super fantastic. We're working with a group of young people, ages 12 through 17, and we're asking them if they are future prepared, and we're helping them to become future prepared. So we have a series of interactive workshops that they can take part in. We're going to be having them to create a vision board. We're going to help them to check their SAT and ACT scores to make sure that they're on task for graduation and for any college that they heart desire in order for them to apply for. And we're also going to have some information for their parents. And the information is Help Your Child Make College a Reality, a family guide to college planning. Because we would like for all of our children, if they so desire, to go to college. So that's some information that we're going to be doing. And, of course, this program is funded by our STV Stop the Violence grant, mini grant that we got from Kids Hope Alliance.
Oh, we got a grant. We got a grant?
Yeah, yes, we did. We got a grant, a mini grant from Kids Hope Alliance. And so we are fulfilling that mission with that particular grant.
So Julia, this grant is just an opportunity to, you know, to put some money out into the communities that are being impacted by the crime? Is that what the purpose is?
Yes, that's the purpose of this grant. It is a Stop the Violence, and so that's what our hope is to be able to talk to our young people, encourage them not to participate, and maybe that number of murders that you talked about earlier will come down drastically, you know, over the next few months. And so that this is an opportunity for us to work with the young people, work with the youth ages 12 through 17, males and females, and then, of course, to get them to think in a more positive way about their future and
great.
The future of our community.
Thank you, Julia.
Okay, so please, if anybody's out there, parents, you want your children to come by, the hour is 10 to 12 today, and we're right here at the Jacksonville Urban League, 903 Union Street West.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Julia.
Okay.
Prevention.
Bye-bye.
So you're talking about prevention, so... that's wonderful to have the opportunity for those adolescents at 12 to 17-year-old age group. So, Dr. Danford, you wanted to talk about...
Well, I wanted to. I was noticing in the paper this morning, and this is for Larry out in on the West Coast, an American Airlines mechanic charged with sabotaging a plane. So we've got we've got to be careful. You think terrorists come from overseas. You know, we've got terrorists right here in the United States.
So when it says sabotage, what did that entail?
Well, yeah. To break something so when a plane is flying,
it'll blow up. So what did it say what he specifically did to sabotage it? You know, did he break something or you know, pull a, I guess, disconnect the line?
Well, he disabled the navigation system.
Oh, okay.
on the plane. So that's
well,
bad.
And the plane was flying. When did they detect that? When it crashed?
Well, what I'm saying is we have to be careful about a little bit of everything, don't we?
Absolutely, Doctor, and a good point, because you know we sometimes take just getting on a plane and so forth for granted that it's going to go and take off and land the way that we anticipated. But you know, as you, we have a lot of domestic terrorism going on here in America, especially with all these shootings and things that are taking place, you know, around the country, where folks are going in, you know, killing, you know, 10, 15 people at a time. That's domestic terrorism, and we're not talking about that. We're so busy watching immigrants, quote-unquote, coming into the country that we're not looking at our own things that are happening right here, our own domestic terrorism. So we need to start focusing on all of it and not just going after the headlines, so to speak.
Yes, there is a lot going on locally, including the new push to make the superintendent an elective office. That was reported in the Jacksonville, the Florida Times Union, jacksonville.com, where, you know, previously this state representative had entered a bill. Yeah, mm-hmm. Fisher had entered a bill to make the school board a mayor appointed school board, but he, according to this article, has retracted that, but is now introducing the bill for the superintendent to be an elective office.
Well,
so
that's
for voters.
Come on, let's
to determine that.
Yeah, let's be real, guys. You know what the deal is. We have, for the first time in the history of Duval County Public School System, an African American, a female superintendent. So there are some racial overtones in this, and I'm saying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It is what it is.
And I'm saying, if you're talking about $1 billion+ that would
absolutely
be spent, you know, it's unusual. Let me just say, it's unusual for a black person to be in charge of that kind of money. And so I think that there's some problems with it from some other folk. So
there's some problems with it for me. I can tell you that much. I mean, you know, it's just that there's no two ways about it. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, is a duck. And they're trying to, you know, as Jarman pointed out, they couldn't get them through the mayor appointing the school board members. So they take another tactic and go directly after this superintendent, which is a bunch of crap. You know, why are we even exploring these things? If it's something that was necessary and needed, why didn't they do it under VD and these other superintendents?
Follow the money,
it's strictly,
Larry.
It's strictly money and race, Doc, on this one.
So just to be clear, if that position becomes an elected office, there's a greater opportunity that who's elected, it's going to exclude certain races. That's what we're saying.
No, we're not. I'm not going to go that far.
You can't exclude it, but you can certainly look at how the elections in Duval County go, and you know who's voting out there, and you look at who's in charge of the city right now in the city council and in the administration. So you know, put two and two together, and you don't come up with five. I can guarantee you that.
But sometimes it's a disadvantage to
elect, disadvantage. That's it.
It's a disadvantage sometimes to elect a superintendent because they may or may not be qualified. You know,
absolutely.
What I'm talking about, have the credentials to run school systems. I mean,
exactly.
you just can't just because a person is popular with no qualification doesn't mean that they can run the school system, but they can answer to whoever's in charge at the top.
Absolutely. Right. Okay. There you go. Absolutely. You regain control of the position.
Okay, so moving right along, we've got our ex-city council members.
Yes.
I see the judge decided that he's not going to separate the cases of the two former city council members. He insists on them being trialed as a team,
right?
The Brown team, you know.
She was gonna. It was reported she was gonna testify.
She wants to have separate
cases and, right. and be able to testify in his case.
Okay. Yeah, I tell you, boy.
Judge is saying no for the fifth time. They've appealed it.
I would
appeal it again too.
Well, it's sad. It's really sad. The Brown name is being tossed around, and you know, I'm just sorry about it. We know what's happening with all the Browns. So, Browns and the blacks and the coloreds and the Negroes.
Yeah, but that is again. You know, if it were me, I'd ask for a trial outside of Duval County. But that's me.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, speaking of, trials and lawsuits, there are 19 African-American firefighters given promotions after a lawsuit. And this was a lawsuit in reference to federal discrimination. They received a settlement of $4.9 million in July. And that with that settlement, the city created 40 new promotion positions. And you know, that's just interesting.
You know, let me say, we've had, this goes back all the way, you know, since consolidation, man. It's been very difficult for African Americans to get promotions in the fire department. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, that's the purpose of the suit. I mean, I remember Nash, Lieutenant, I mean, he had to fight for every promotion years ago. And,
yes.
When you look around, and we really need to look at the demographics now in the fire department, you know, are we reflecting the population as it relates to these extremely important positions? I'm talking about firemen, and I'm talking about police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We've got to make certain that the numbers are there in terms of the representation
right.
for the various demographics, you know. So,
just
well, we know that it wasn't, because that's why they had to settle the lawsuit, because they were, you know, we're going to lose, you know, lose the suit. And you know, the suit, that I think the settlement also calls for them to hire and create more hiring positions for minorities, African Americans, and minorities in the fire department. But do we see any of that happening? And as far as the actual recruitment, are they using the African American newspapers? Are they using the organizations around the city to help recruit? I don't see it. Maybe Doc sees it or drama sees it, but I don't see crap.
No, have you seen any recruitment in it?
No.
So we just again want things to be more equitable. We see that it's still not equitable after so many years. Sometimes I just think about, you know, the stories my parents used to tell me of things that happened, and I'm just in like 2019, we're still dealing with this. Like, we can't just accept each other for who we are, the color of our skin, and our personalities, and we just have to constantly fight against one another.
Listen, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that we have over 4,000 documented lynchings of African Americans.
Okay, and so
including African American veterans that came home from the war and were lynched, and many of them with their uniforms on. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to really understand our history and what's going on. And since I'm talking about lynching,
we have to take a break.
We have to
hold on.
So we have to take another music break. But
we'll get to the lynching next time.
Okay, all right.
So we're going to come back to that. So this is our next praise break. All right. So we again invite our listeners to call in. That number is 904-831-1079. That's 904-831-1079. And this is the Empowerment Hour, and we'll be back.
SOS, I need you daily. Yeah. Can't lie, say the pain don't faze me. My God, who gon' help these babies?
I've been in the fire so long, I can't get burned no more. I thought you was putting out the flame, but it was rain from the storm. Thoughts over my head, making me stressed all day long. They won't let me rest, it's on my chest. I ain't that strong. I need a lifeline right now. 911 won't do. My back's against the wall now. Done all that I could do. I prayed every prayer, went to every service like I know how. Just a ship without a sail. I'm lost without your help. Sometimes I don't, but it ain't about my will. It's all about what you want. Your family used to be first, things getting worse in my home. My brother is hurt, we need a word, it's too far gone. I need a lifeline right now. 911 won't do. My back's against the wall now. Done all that I could do. I prayed every prayer, went to every service like I know how. Just a ship without a sail. I'm lost without you.
Help now, see, I feel left out. I can't tell my right from my left now. But my mama's crying cause my daddy's dying. He got pains all in his chest now. My daughter's having these nightmares. I might be wrong, but I'm right here, yeah. I'm trying to hold on when my hands hurt or the ropes out. Cause when life fights, it don't fight fair. So I'm leaning all on these ropes now. And I got hope, but it's low now. So I'm leaning all on these quotes now. Like never leave me, won't forsake me. If you don't help me, I don't make it.
All right. Yes, Lord, we need your help. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
Yes, have mercy. We, we experience that every day. Yes, we're going to talk about the lynchings in a moment, but we do have a caller on the line. So, Dr. Danford, just have to be a little patient, just a little, little more patience. All right. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I just wanted to make a statement that if the greatest entertainer of all time, Michael Jackson, can't stop racism, when he came out with the song, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, mm-hmm. racism is just gonna, if he can't stop it, then I don't think nobody on this earth can stop it.
Oh, okay.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for
All right.
Thank you for listening.
All right. All right, Dr. Danford. Your lynchings, you got the floor. Talk about it was after, 100 years? Has it been 100 years with this commemoration?
Yeah, we're celebrating. Actually, we're not celebrating, but...
I was going to say that we're not celebrating.
We're not celebrating.
It's a recognition.
We know that in Jacksonville in 1919, Bowman Cook and John Marin were dragged from jail and lynched on September 8th, 1919. So a gathering is planned Sunday to mark the anniversary.
They were
two African Americans here in Jacksonville that were lynched, and of course on tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. A ceremony mocking the 100th anniversary of the day the two black men were dragged from Duval County Jail and lynched by an angry white, what is this, angry white, by angry white men. I don't know. I guess they're angry.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be, you said, a commemoration.
Yeah. The Jacksonville Community Remembrance Project will have a ceremony right there at the entrance of Evergreen Cemetery on Main Street. Apparently the lynching happened right there on that corner, and so we will be there and we will offer up, and we will have a soil collection. Mm-hmm. So this is part of the Equal Justice Initiative out of Montgomery, Alabama, your home state, where they have the lynching memorial out there,
mm-hmm.
Signifying, showing all of the names of the African Americans lynched over all of these years, the state they're from, the county they're from, and the city. As a matter of fact, I looked up, and even my county, Ware County, up in Georgia, you know, we had six lynchings,
mm-hmm.
and so here in Jacksonville, I believe it was seven or eight lynchings, and so these are confirmed lynchings.
Right.
Over 4,000 across the South and some of the other states. I believe Mississippi has the most with 600 plus lynching. Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, Georgia 500 plus. Florida, we've had close to 400. So these lynchings occurred throughout the South,
mm-hmm.
and so we will start that process.
Well, that was a good moment about history.
I think that's good. I think that's good historical information, and it kind of brings us back to 2019. Is that you know, we may not be physically being lynched, but economically we're being lynched, and technology,
yes.
we're being lynched. Education, we're being lynched. So we're still being lynched, y'all. It hasn't gone away. It's just a more sophisticated way of doing it.
Yep.
All right. So we have to continue to.
Lynching. Whether it's a liquor store being placed in your community.
Absolutely. There you go.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Or lack of policing in your neighborhoods.
Yes, and lack of those cameras.
All of those things,
in those high crime neighborhoods.
Yeah, all of these things, bring to back that memory, and I think we need to. Be there at that site where the ceremony is taking place, just so that we know. When you know your history, you know your greatness.
Now, with the denial of the sales tax referendum for the school system to get that money, would that be a part of the
Absolutely.
Economic lynching, or the education lynching? You know, preventing the progressiveness, of the community and all the students again.
Well, I think that. Quite charming, because the sales tax is going to get on the ballot sooner or later. Okay, they're trying to dictate who's going to actually be in charge of the
money. Okay, so we just kind of defer it and just push it back until somebody new is in that position.
Yeah, okay. Well, they can only push it so far. I see the Clay County School Board and their commission finally reached an agreement on placing their sales tax initiative on the ballot for 2020. And I think the city council and the mayor's stalled this one long enough now that Duval will have to push theirs back to 2020 also.
Oh, wow. So you're saying the mayor got what he wanted?
Yes.
Ooh.
Pretty much. Well, he didn't get what he wanted, all of what he wanted. You know, he's still working on that, getting rid of the superintendent. But that's a whole other subject.
Well, speaking of another subject, 53,000 applicants, about 53,500 applicants, didn't get what they want when they applied for this loan forgiveness program. It's a public service loan forgiveness program by the Federal Department of Education. About $700 million is allocated for this loan forgiveness, and they denied 99% of the applicants.
Oh, they're going to take that money and put it toward the wall.
99%.
No, all of the money is being raked in from everywhere.
To build a wall, guys.
Absolutely.
Only 661 applicants out of those 53,500 were approved.
And they probably were pre-approved, but the fact that
pre or not that approved.
Well, you know, the folks know who is going to be getting those deals, and they changed the criteria and the qualifications based on the applicant. I'll guarantee you that's what's going on. Go ahead.
Well, Larry, tell me what's going on with the Opportunity Zone.
Oh,
I hear that's been a windfall for the wealthy. For the wealthy, I thought it was supposed to help low income communities. That's what folks been running around talking about in Jacksonville. Being able to get investors to invest in these depressed neighborhoods. That didn't even sound right.
Right, exactly. Well, and if it's like what's happened on the West Coast in Seattle in particular, you know, the Opportunity Zone turned out to be a cash cow windfall for the wealthy. That's part of the gentrification, okay? Because who can afford to come in and invest cash capital, and who needs the type of cash tax write-offs that these zones offer. You know, only the wealthy people can benefit from this in the investment. And as we've tried over the years, that this past year, putting together collaborative efforts and partnerships within our community, you know, we've run into too many obstacles to make it happen. And the main one is the lack of resources, both capital and human resources, with the knowledge of creating those type of collaborations and partnerships that can effectively apply for the Opportunity Zone funding.
Right. Well, we've got the Jacksonville Franchise Expo starting at 11 o'clock today at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. So if you're thinking about turning your business into a franchise, they're having the Great American Franchise Expo again. We've got several organizations co-sponsoring this expo, so I'll see you all today and tomorrow from 11 to 5 at the Prime Osborne Convention Center for the expo.
Are you going to be there, Doc?
Yes, I'm going to show up.
Urban League has a booth there?
Yes.
Okay, so are some of the companies offering franchising opportunities?
Yes.
So it is an opportunity for someone who may want to become an entrepreneur.
Yes.
To come and get some information.
It's free admission, by the way. There's no charge.
And that takes place today.
But the franchises aren't free, y'all.
Right.
They'll learn that at the expo.
You'll have banks on hand to discuss loans and financing,
right.
Franchise lawyers available.
You have to have money. You have to have resources.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So we're going
to
take
people to get their hopes up too high when they go there. Be
yes.
ready for refusal and denial. But anyways, go ahead.
All right, so we're going to take our next music break, and we're coming up on our entrepreneur corner. So small business owners, call in and give a shout out about your business, your services, and your products. The number is 904-831-1079, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say
bless.
Yeah!
Bless.
Here in the city, here on the Empowerment Hour, we are thankful. Thankful to our listeners for tuning in this Saturday morning. So we are back on Praise 107.9. And we do have a caller on the line. This is our Entrepreneur Corner, where we invite our small business owners to call in and share their services or products or any events that they have going on. So we have Michael Cobb on the line. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
I got two events. We're partnering with the Sickle Cell Disease Association. They are putting together an annual walk. It's going to be next Saturday, September 14th at 8 a.m. And what we're doing with Accentuate, we're partnering with them. We're wrapping off a few items in the store. So come in, support this great cause. We're wrapping off a Jaguar football, a necklace set, and also a nice luggage set as well. And this event, once again, is going to take place next Saturday, September 14th. And all the proceeds from the raffle will be supporting this great cause, Sickle Cell Disease Association.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're going to be closing out our last jazz concert. We moved it from Hemming Park, and we're going to go up under the Fuller Warren Bridge with the Riverside's Art Market. And we're going to kick off the last jazz concert series. We're doing a tribute to Motown, and we're going to salute Aretha Franklin there as well. So we got vending opportunities. So it's jazz music overlooking the St. John's River.
I'm talking about respect.
Man, you're cute out here. That was a good cue.
And what date is that again, Michael?
That's going to be October the 20th. So I checked the Jaguars got a away game. They play the Cincinnati Bengals. And right after at the church. We'll have your relaxation. Listen to some great jazz. October the 20th is going to start at 4 p.m. And we're going to kick off some great jazz. So we got vendor space opportunity. So
you can, and where is this, Michael? Where is this going to be?
You know what? Fuller Warren Bridge, Riverside Art Market.
Oh, sure, sure. Okay.
Yeah. So, but on the flyer, I can't say Riverside Art Market. They branded that. But most people know where that's located. So they got a stage, and behind the stage is the St. John's River. So I thought that was a great location to have the event. So if it rains, they still can be played jazz music. And so we got food vendor opportunity. So people can contact me personally for vendor space opportunity, 904-625-7937. 625-7937.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. That's on October 20th at 4 o'clock at the Fuller Warren Bridge. Another jazz
concert. Is it October or September?
October.
He said October.
October the 20th.
Yeah,
October,
so we have some more time to talk about that. But he mentioned a run walk.
For sickle cell.
Well, you know, we're also having a run walk over.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
The 7th annual Historic Springfield Community 5K Run Walk will take place over in Springfield, so maybe our runners can meet your runners.
Yours is this walk is on the 14th, you said, right? And registration begins at 6:30, and you can contact Miss Lenny Finley over at the Urban League.
I'll go online. First Place Sports.
Okay, go online to First Place Sports, and that's where they can register and get all of the information.
Yeah, that's going to be it should be a great walk.
All right, getting in some good exercise. All right,
yes.
All right, we have a caller, Steve. All right. Well, I'll talk about what Harvest Intervention Services is doing right now. We are accepting new patients for psychological testing, and that just simply is, you know, if you or your child are dealing with depression, anxiety, there are tests to determine that. Also, whether if your child's dealing with possibly learning problems in school or even behavior challenges, it may not necessarily be a deficiency. It may be that they're gifted. So we do testing for gifted and dyslexia and learning disabilities. And then we also provide the counseling services, and we're expanding with that innovation and technology with telehealth. So we do have opportunities for that as well, which makes it more convenient in your home or even on your break if you're at work. So you can always have access to that.
At another time, you're going to tell us the difference between a patient and a client in your profession.
They're pretty much the same. Right, yeah. We have patients are more under the psychological umbrella. So, all right, we do have a couple more callers, but I wanted to give the number for Harvest. It's 904-595-6516. If you have any questions or concerns, you can give us a call and schedule a consultation. All right, who's the first caller? Okay, good morning, caller. Pastor Gerald? Okay, Ferguson?
Daryl Ferguson.
Daryl Ferguson. Okay, good morning, Pastor. How you doing?
Oh, good morning, everybody. It's a blessed day. I just want to thank you all for what you're doing there, and I just want to make an announcement about the upcoming Christian Academy that we're going to be opening up soon. And that will be from pre-K to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to have an additional program that's going to be dealing with kids that have learning disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we want to be able to do that we found out that the kids do have those abilities. They do want to learn, and they are able to. Unfortunately, the school system right now is not attacking the problem properly. So we feel that under a godly tent, we can do that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in to share that information. All right. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
All right. What would you like to share with us this morning?
Is it too safe? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. We can hear you.
How are you all doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing great, Sharon. How are you?
I am well. I missed you all. This is Sharon calling from Two Saints Restaurant and Grill.
What? Where have you been?
We've been here. Where you been?
Is that the Simon Croquette lady?
I know. I've been working hard at 8968 103rd Street, working hard, serving up this delicious American Grill. And I wanted to invite you all out. We are having live music on next Saturday. Dinner and live music at 6 p.m. We are welcoming the local band Noteworthy. It is complimentary with your dinner. So come and groove and jazz with us as Noteworthy takes us back in the day at 6 p.m. 8968 103rd Street at Two Saints Restaurant and Grill. And we will have not Procat. But we will definitely have that 12-ounce ribeye on the grill, catfish, cod, baked potatoes, and all the sides and trimmings. So please come through and check us out. And for all of you all from 107.9, we'll have some complimentary treats for you guys. So we're looking forward to seeing you and serving you.
What about some fried okra? You're going to have some fried okra?
We thank you for that, Sherrod. When is that?
I'm gonna send you a menu.
When is that again? 6 p.m. on what?
6 p.m. on Saturday, next Saturday, okay. September the 14th.
Okay.
So it's dinner and live music. The dinner, of course, is, you know, as you order from the menu, but the music is complimentary. Okay. And we just want to celebrate and have a good time with you all and fellowship. So we look forward to seeing everyone.
All right. Well, thank you, Sherrod.
Local band Noteworthy. Look them up. Noteworthy. They're awesome.
Okay. All right, Sherrod. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. All right, so we got another jazz event. I like jazz music. Do you make
That's
it?
That's a lot of competition going on next Saturday, huh?
Oh yeah, next Saturday does have a lot of events that are going on.
Well, things slowed down because of the hurricane.
Right. So now we're back to
You notice we had all those shootings on Thursday right after.
That didn't slow down.
Yeah, they were.
They were upset because the hurricane didn't hit. But hey, guys. One of our faithful listeners in St. Petersburg sent me a text message saying that we were talking about the high-tech lynching and lynchings through technology. So the MIT, which is the military academy, is offering a new course of in ethics of technology. So these are some opportunities again for African Americans and people of color to get involved in technology at a higher level. Mm-hmm. So you know there are some folks out here doing some things. Thank you for that, Paul Tolliver, that are doing things out here in the community and in our educational systems that are proactive and necessary for our. Community,
even locally, so, you know, we do have that going on. It is going on. There are some positive programs and opportunities. We just have to access it. The people have to access those opportunities, and we really enjoy.
They need to advertise and let us know where they are first of all. But that's a whole nother subject. So anyway,
well, once we know, we like to get that information out to the community so that they know.
If you have programs going on at around. STEM and programs like that, call in and let the community know so that we can all benefit from it.
And we'll see you all at the expo down at the Prime Osborne Convention Center.
All right.
There you go. And have a great rest of the weekend.